from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The British Columbia provincial government says it's adopting the UN's Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples. It could give First Nation tribes more say over mining and other resource industries. The declaration requires free, prior, and informed consent from Native groups regarding any land use projects on traditional lands. Legislation in BC's parliament, supported by the premier, has been introduced with support from both tribes and industries. Tess Peterman leads the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission, which represents 15 local tribes concerned about downstream impacts from BC mining.
This declaration is worldwide. It's international. I believe they have to consider the rights of the people that are living at the mouths of these watersheds.
She says Alaska should take note and adopt the same set of standards giving Alaska Natives more say over projects on their traditional lands. Environmentalists in Alaska say it'll be important to see how the provincial government interprets the UN declaration if it passes parliament. Southeast Alaska Conservation Council's Meredith Trainer says the UN declaration has strong language.
Does that mean that they will be given, you know, potentially some sort of a decision-making role in partnership with the government with regards to whether this or that mine does or doesn't open? That's a really big deal.
A statement from British Columbia's provincial government says the declaration would not affect existing permits. The announcement was also welcomed by representatives of BC's mining sector and other business groups. Republicans in the U.S. Senate are hitting back at the House for its impeachment inquiry into President Trump. A new non-binding resolution emerged yesterday condemning the House inquiry, and Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan has signed on as a co-sponsor. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports on Sullivan's views of the inquiry.
The resolution's prime sponsor, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, says the way Democrats are conducting the impeachment inquiry is all wrong.
It's unfair to the president and it's dangerous to the presidency. And I think 41 Republican senators and growing is a strong signal to our House colleagues that you're off script here.
Sullivan wasn't in that initial batch of 41 co-sponsors. Graham later tweeted that Sullivan was number 46. In an interview last week, Sullivan said the process the House is using is more partisan than what Presidents Clinton or Nixon faced.
And right now, I don't see that process as being viewed as fair and even-handed.
The resolution calls on the House to vote on holding an impeachment inquiry. Past impeachments began that way, though the Constitution doesn't require it. Democratic-led committees are interviewing witnesses behind closed doors, with Republicans on those committees allowed to ask questions of their own. At the heart of the inquiry is a July phone call between Trump and the president of Ukraine. A rough transcript of the call shows Trump asked his counterpart for two investigations, one looking into the 2016 election and a Democratic computer server, and the other aimed at former Vice President Joe Biden. Sullivan says Alaskans should read the transcript for themselves. He says Trump may have had a legitimate official reason to request at least the server investigation.
Looking at who interfered, whether Russia or Ukrainians in the national interests, in our national elections, certainly that one could have.
And Sullivan says even if you don't like what the president did, it's important to look at whether the action is serious enough to warrant removing a duly elected president. Supporters of impeachment say it is that serious. They say Trump was pressing the Ukrainians for help with his reelection campaign, which they say shows an abuse of office for personal gain. What does Sullivan think?
I'm not sure I got a yes or a no on whether you thought that he was acting solely in the national interest on that phone call.
Look, I'm just trying to. I think you're framing the question. What the issue has been right now is the transcript demonstrate an impeachable offense?
The resolution condemning the impeachment inquiry has no legal effect, but it is a way for Republican senators to show they've got Trump's back. It also suggests Democrats don't have anything close to the 20 GOP senators they would need to remove the president from office. As of Friday afternoon, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitt Romney were the only Republican senators who had not signed up as co-sponsors of the resolution. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
State officials say Alaska's airports will continue to stock a firefighting foam linked to groundwater contamination. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the foam contains PFAS, forever chemicals, that have tainted drinking water in at least five communities.
Burning fuel from a fiery plane crash can be tough to put out. That's why firefighters at Alaska's airports carry chemical agents for the job. And for decades, the industry standard has been aqueous film-forming foams, known as AFFF, that smother the blaze.
The whole goal of the foam is to essentially encapsulate the fuel and prevent oxygen from getting to it.
That's John Binder. He's a deputy commissioner of Alaska's Department of Transportation, overseeing state-owned airports. But the same chemicals that make it effective for fighting fires are also linked to contamination in drinking water.
It contains the PFAS family of chemicals, and they have been used liberally in Gustavus and are in a lot of our groundwater.
Kelly McLaughlin lives in the small southeast community. Her household's well is deemed unsafe to drink by state regulators, and she's been receiving state-supplied bottled water for more than a year. Now she heads the grassroots Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition that's been asking for AFFF foam to be removed from her local airport.
I feel like it's so toxic, it just needs to be gone.
But state officials say they're not ready to do that, despite requests from Gustavus's elected officials. Mayor Calvin Kasapit says he understands where the state's coming from, but Gustavus is a low-lying area with a cluster of private wells around its airport.
I know they've used AFFF, you know, at other airports and stuff, but do people drink the groundwater there?
There are federal requirements for the types of firefighting agents kept at airports. AFFF isn't one of them.
If the FAA has an alternative that meets the intent of the regulations that the community here doesn't want to have this stuff around, I think that should be honored.
But those in the know say the alternatives just don't work as well. Juneau's fire chief, Rich Etheridge, says he understands the environmental concerns, but when it comes to putting out a burning aircraft,
there isn't a product on the market that's totally environmentally friendly that works like it's supposed to.
There's contamination in Juneau, too. Those PFAS chemicals linked to the firefighting foam have been measured in groundwater around the fire department's training facility. The results of additional testing in the wetlands around Juneau's airport are pending. In the meantime, PFAS contamination from firefighting foams have officially tainted the drinking water in five communities. Because of the link to the foam, DOT is legally the responsible party and has been paying for bottled water supplied to households around Bristol Bay, Fairbanks, Yakutat, and Gustavus. Deputy Commissioner John Binder says his agency is trying to balance the risk of contamination with its responsibility to keep airports safe. He says Alaska firefighters no longer train with the foam.
The state and the various departments, primarily DOT and DEC as well, are certainly well aware of the challenges associated with this subject. We're working closely with the FAA on alternatives out there and doing our best to ensure that no contamination happens unintentionally here in the meantime while we wait for non-fluorinated foam to come available.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon is investing millions in research for alternatives. And last year, Washington became the first state in the nation to begin phasing out PFAS-laced firefighting foam. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has extended its deadline to review numerous comments submitted for a draft environmental review of the proposed Pebble Mine in Alaska's Bristol Bay region. Assistant Secretary of the Army, R.D. James, extended Thursday's deadline to February 28th to consider comments, including those from the Environmental Protection Agency, and to draft a preliminary final environmental impact statement. In a letter to the EPA, James says the Corps, the EPA, and others will meet soon to resolve outstanding issues. These meetings will allow the Corps to complete a preliminary final environmental impact statement and decision documents on the proposed gold and copper mine. The new deadline reflects EPA's 30-day request to review the draft statements and to consult with the Corps as they develop final versions. U.S. Census Bureau says its workers in Alaska will still approach properties and homes where signs warning against trespassing are posted. Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that the federal agency says workers canvassing communities to obtain resident information are not bound by the warnings. The Bureau says in a statement it's allowed to disregard trespassing signs because it's required by law to give everyone the opportunity to respond. The statement says the nationwide count is a constitutional requirement. Alaska Area Census Manager Jeff Buttorf says Workers are required to approach all properties but will comply with owners' requests to leave. Butorf says canvassers who are told to leave will explain why they are there and leave census materials if the recipient wants them before departing. A Washington State insurance commissioner has fined a company $100,000 and barred it from selling policies in the state after promising gun owners insurance for criminal activity. Seattle Times reported Monday that the United States Concealed Carry Association, Incorporated, advertised the insurance plan as immediate coverage for criminal defense costs if a member was charged with a crime related to the intentional use of a firearm or other weapon. Authorities say it's illegal in Washington state to insure criminal activity. The Wisconsin-based company has agreed to pay the fine and other penalties. The company sold insurance to about 1,700 Washington state residents between December 2018 and January 2019 with memberships. It's working on a membership delivery structure that would be considered acceptable. And finally, the Iditarod Sled Dog Race has joined a new global circuit of long-distance sled dog racing. The 1,000-mile Iditarod has teamed with Norway Pet Food Supplement Company and series creator Aker Biomarine and other races in Minnesota, Norway, and Russia for the inaugural Krill Pet Arctic World Series, or QPAWS, next year. Logistics are still being worked out, but the series will use a joint point system over a still undetermined time frame, GPS tracking, and an online platform to follow the racing teams. Organizers say talks with potential broadcast outlets are also underway. The Iditarod will be the finale next March and longest race among those participating. Taking a look at the National Weather Service conditions, current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 45 degrees, mostly cloudy. And zooming out to the borough level, forecast tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog, lows around 30. Saturday, mostly cloudy, areas of freezing fog and patchy fog, highs in the mid-40s. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, October 25th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.